Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Job 1, 6 to 12. Job chapter 1, verse 6 to 12. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. My theme for reflection is loving God when the blessings tremble. Loving God when the blessings tremble. Someone once joked that many Christians love God the way we love Wi-Fi, deeply devoted as long as the signal is strong. Lent gently exposes that illusion. As we continue this season of reflection, Job 1, 6 to 12 confronts us with a difficult but necessary question. Do we love God for who God is, or only for the comfort he provides? The scene in heaven exposes a deep issue beneath the surface of Job's suffering. Job is not on trial for secret sin. Instead, the integrity of God's relationship with humanity is called into question. The adversary puts forward a cynical and frankly ludicrous claim that Job's devotion is nothing more than a business arrangement. According to this accusation, Job fears God only because he is insulated from loss and surrounded by prosperity. Strip away the blessings, the argument suggests, and his faith will collapse. This tension isn't just ancient history. It shows up in our lives all the time. We live in a culture that has absorbed a quiet version of prosperity theology. Sometimes it comes dressed as Christian teaching that promises blessing in exchange for strong faith. Other times it appears as self-help spirituality or manifestation language that claims the right mindset will produce health, wealth, and success. In every form, the message is similar. If things are going well, you are doing it right. If you are suffering, something must be wrong. But Job's story tears that logic apart. His suffering was not proof of weak faith, hidden sin, or failed spiritual alignment. It was not punishment, and it was not the result of negative thinking. The prosperity gospel turns faith into a transaction. Believe correctly, act faithfully, and God will pay out invisible rewards. Job exposes that lie. Faith is not a contract. We negotiate to secure blessings. It is trust in God's character even when the blessings disappear. And that deeper trust becomes even more striking when we see how God responds. God does not respond to the accusation with anger or denial, but allows a testing within clear limits. The text shows divine sovereignty. Even the adversary cannot act without restraint. This echoes the wisdom of Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, which reminds us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trials are not proof that God has abandoned us, but spaces where trust deepens beyond human calculation. The German theologian Jürgen Moltmann once wrote, "Hope is nothing else than the expectation of those things which faith has believed to have been truly promised by God." Lent becomes a training ground for such hope. It invites us to loosen our grip on security and rediscover the God who remains present when life does not follow our plans. Many today turn to New Age spiritual practices that promise inner balance through crystals, affirmations, or energy alignment. While the longing for peace is real, Job reminds us that true strength does not come from controlling circumstances, but from surrendering to the mystery of God's wisdom. Now imagine someone who builds their spiritual life around constant positivity, journaling affirmations, visualizing success, curating a life of calm. Then a crisis comes, illness, loss, or disappointment. The temptation is to believe something went wrong spiritually. Job offers another vision. Strength through trials emerges not from perfect technique, but from worship that survives uncertainty. The real Lenten question becomes the same one raised in heaven. Is God our treasure, or merely the giver of our comforts? Now, what does this mean for us today? It calls us to examine our expectations. Much of our suffering intensifies when we assume life owes us stability, a perfect family, lasting health, or interrupted success. Job's perspective reframes everything. We enter life empty-handed, and all we receive is grace. Lent invites us to move from entitlement to gratitude, and from control to trust, and from fear to worship. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, when have I measured God's faithfulness by how easy my life feels? Number two, in this season of Lent, what attachment or expectation might God be inviting me to release? And now our practical exercise for the day. Practice a gratitude fast. Choose one area where you normally seek control: your schedule, finances, or relationships. And instead of striving to fix it, offer a simple prayer of surrender. Lord, even here I trust your wisdom. Then reach out to someone enduring hardship and remind them they are not alone. Faithful God, you see us beyond our fears and expectations. Teach us to love you not only for your gifts, but for your presence. When trials come, anchor us in the hope that you remain sovereign and near. As we walk through this Lenten season, refine our hearts so that our worship grows deeper than circumstances and our trust stronger than fear. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.